realfaith.org.au.
I just got to the point where there was no love anymore. There was absolutely no love. And I think it was about 6 months in when I basically said to him, you've got to go and get help. Something's wrong. Because if you don't, I don't think we can come back from this. You are destroying this family.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
Andy Cullen is a veteran of 17 years service in the Australian Army, retiring as a major in 2012. He was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, following multiple deployments to Afghanistan. Last time on the program, we heard about how Andy's condition worsened over time and how Zoe was left to pick up the pieces of their broken family. We also heard that at a low point, Andy turned to the Lord and put his faith in the Lord. Actually, it was the verse 2 Timothy 1:7 that really impacted his life. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that was the turning point in Andy's life. Now we want to ask you, Zoe, about what were some of the turning points during Andy's journey?
Okay, I think the best place for me to start would be to talk about really what it was like for me and the family, the kids, dealing with PTSD.
Sounds like you really had to walk on eggshells.
Yeah.
You never knew what was going to set him off.
Look, you know, when he was in Afghanistan that last time for 12 months, I was exhausted and I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot wait for my partner to come back. He's going to help me. He's going to basically, it'll be all hands on deck and I'll get a bit of a rest.
Yeah, because you were a single parent of four children.
Yeah, well, at that, when he was away, I only had the three, but my eldest had just started primary school and my youngest, my daughter Eden, whom Andy talked about before, she was only about 18 months. So yeah, I was a single parent and man, I have a lot of respect for single parents. I would not wish that on anybody. It takes a lot of patience, and I'm not a very patient person. I've got, I'm like Greek Maltese, so I get pretty fiery and stuff. So I've got a lot of guilt about how I handled, or rather how I didn't handle the single parent role. And I know I've got to give myself a bit of a break about that because I was basically in survival. But when I thought that reprieve was coming when he was coming back from Afghanistan, that reprieve, that never came. Basically, things were so bad. I was already exhausted. And then when he got back, I was in overdrive because I was on just in this constant mode of protecting the kids, shielding the kids from the emotional abuse. So I was just, you know, overcompensating and just constantly being the buffer between Andy and the children so that the kids wouldn't think that dad was meaning what he was saying, or that dad really did love them. And it just this, I mean, I was a mess, and just, I always thought, well, look, I can handle this for myself because I can deal with it. But my kids, I'm really freaked out about the kids getting damaged and this being just too much for them. And they were viewing a lot. Like my oldest son, who I often refer to as my little rock, because he just took so much responsibility on himself to help Andy to come out of depression and stuff. And you know, there were many nights when Andy and I were having some just full-on fights, just full-on, and he would come out because he'd hear us yelling, and because, you know, there's only so much you can pretend.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come in and go, Mom, are you okay? Are you going to leave Dad? Are you going to get divorced?
Oh, wow.
And that's coming from a, you know, 6-7-year-old. You just it really forces you to kind of get out of your own circumstance and out of your own head and realize what impact everything that you're saying that they're hearing is having on them. And I think for me the pressure just became so much. At one point, I think when I thought it couldn't get any lower, I actually found out I was pregnant with our fourth child, and I got a lot of guilt about it. But I was not happy. I was just like, oh my gosh, really? What? How on earth am I going to get through this? Like, I already feel like I'm responsible for protecting my three kids. I'm just at this place where I'm constantly building my husband up, trying to make him feel better about himself, trying to make him see purpose in life and value in life. And now I've got to go through this as well. I actually literally, I cried all night. And it was just something I wasn't, I had no joy in my pregnancy, none. People were coming over and
I mean,
just,
it's usually such a joyful thing, but based on all the things that you're saying that you've been going through, obviously it wasn't for you at this point.
It wasn't. I wasn't equipped to handle it. And I actually literally, I was physically at the bottom of my reserve. I had nothing more to give. And I just, I thought, how can I possibly bring an innocent child into this, what had become loveless marriage? It was just so angry and, you know, crying every day. And I just couldn't see how that could possibly be, you know, something that I wanted to bring a child into.
Now, did you know anything about PTSD at this point?
No.
So you were just doing your best kind of in the dark.
I was just trying to survive. And I just thought Andy had turned into an absolute rat bag, but he hadn't been diagnosed up until about 6 months after he left. So it was with some relief, actually, when he was diagnosed with PTSD, because I was like, oh, well.
There's a reason for all this.
It explains it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't make it easier, but at least.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, it was at that point, it was like, okay, right, you need a life coach. This is how we're going to get through this.
So you had a plan of action.
Yeah. Let's watch what you eat. Let's not drink so much. Let's go to bed at a reasonable time. Let's get exercise. But, of course, that just caused a whole lot of problems too, because, you know, most men don't like to be told by their wife, do you really need another beer? Should you be eating those chips? Is that a good choice? Like, I basically became his parent, and I had completely emasculated him, basically. He was a child, and I hated it, and I resented him for that. I resented him for the fact that I had to have the responsibility of looking after him because he wouldn't take the responsibility of looking after himself. So it was weird because I resented him, but he resented me for being in control. But then he also felt like he was just constantly letting me down because he wasn't in control enough to make the right decisions. So there came a point, I think, when I basically was pretty angry. It was just after I found out I was pregnant, and it was after this time of, okay, you know, once again Andy had done something where we felt like we were two steps ahead, and then he'd gone out and had an all-night bender drinking, and then he would come home and, you know, alcohol is a depressant, so, you know, couldn't really get why it wasn't working for him, and he'd come back and we would just end up like 10 steps back. So I was just at this point of, okay, look, it doesn't matter what I do. Unless you want to get better, you've got to help yourself. And I had a conversation with him where I said to him, look, I've got to focus on the baby. I can't do this anymore. I can't be only focusing on you. I've got to make sure the kids are happy. I've got to make sure the baby's happy. I've got to take some time for myself. So I really feel like, it's not that I don't want to be a part of your journey anymore, but I've got to give this back to you. You've got to want to get better for yourself. I can't make you do it. So I basically said, you know, by all means, tell me what you're excited about, what's working, what's not, but this has got to be something that you're leading. And, of course, with his filters, he took it as me saying, I don't love you anymore and I'm leaving, which was something that we dealt with often. It just take everything the wrong way, but he finally got it. And I believe that was a major turning point for Andy, where I basically gave him back his power. And for myself, I remember about 2 hours after the conversation, I found myself laughing for like the first time in so long. It was like I'd just taken this massive burden off myself that I wasn't equipped to handle anyway or deal with. So I really feel like that was a major turning point for both of us.
It sounds like you were kind of trying to parent him into recovery by putting rules down and things. But what you're saying is he had to own it himself.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was doing. I was parenting him. I became his parent.
And of course, he would resent that.
Yeah, he
Nobody
absolutely
wants your spouse to be your parent.
That's right. And he absolutely resented me. Like, it was out of my heart I was doing it. I was like, okay, how can I help you? I love you. How can I help you? I was doing what I knew how to do, which was to be a parent.
Mm.
I was not equipped to fix him. I could not fix him. I'm a fixer by nature too, so it's just what I do. I see a problem, I'm like, okay, let's find a solution. Let's do this. This was not something I could fix. I was completely out of my depths with PTSD, absolutely.
That's Zoe Cullen talking about the struggle she went through after her husband Andy came back from serving in Afghanistan and was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out how Zoe eventually called out to the Lord in desperation, and we'll also find out how healing came to their lives. That and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. And you can listen to past programs about the impact faith has had on others. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and once again, we're chatting with Zoe and Andy Cullen, authors of the book Resurrected, A Story of Hope. It's about their struggle through PTSD following Andy's multiple deployments to Afghanistan. Next, Zoe shares more of the struggle she went through, and then they'll both share how they're now helping others.
Another turning point for me personally was, after a massive argument, and another massive argument, these were daily, sometimes multiple times a day, he viewed me as his enemy, so everything I was doing was against him. He could never see anything I did with good intention. We were just enemies. We were fighting all the time. And I just remember I locked myself in the room and crying and just grieving. I was actually grieving. Mm-hmm. Often I'd find myself grieving for what was lost because he wasn't who I married, and I hated to look to the future to see where our future was going. I hated the idea of, oh, my gosh, this is my life now.
Hmm.
And I grieved who I was and who I had become. Like, I was too – it's just the weight of the world on my shoulders. But there was a time when I was angry with God, and I just said, like, I grew up as a Christian, but my relationship with God was pretty limited to being a kid and just going, oh, I had never gone through grief and never had to call out on God to kind of meet me where I was at. And in my anger, I just said, God, where are you? I can't do this anymore. This isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. If you don't show up now, I'm out of here. I've got nothing left. I've got nothing left in the reserves. And it was at that time where God drew me to the scripture, Romans 8, verse 28. All things work for good for those who trust in him and are called according to his purpose. And I just remember thinking, how? That's what you're giving me? Like, what? How? How is this possibly a good thing? Are these tears, this pain, this suffering, my kids being damaged, how and bruised, how is this possibly a good thing? And I kind of learned to kind of go, okay, God, if that's what you're giving me, I got to trust it. And from that, I surrendered the situation. I surrendered my powerlessness and just said, it's in your strength because I'm not getting through this on my own. So, God, I'm giving it to you. And that's for me when I actually felt that real tangible peace that surpasses all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It was tangible. I was just like, oh, my gosh. Wow, there's actual power in this. There's power in me being able to go, God, please show up now. It wasn't just fairy tales. It wasn't just something. Mm-hmm. It was God actually literally showed up. And I did develop the strength to get through stuff, but it was different. It wasn't me operating anymore. It was God operating. So, or me operating in God.
Well, listening to your situation, I mean, I hate to say it, but it sounded like a living nightmare. The person who you married, your husband, had changed into somebody very irritable and disagreeable who could fly off the handle at a moment's notice, and you never knew what was going to set him off. Mm. Just sounded like a hopeless situation. But of course, that's the wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father. He can break through hopeless situations or seemingly hopeless situations, and he took that weight off of your shoulders. Is that right?
Yeah, he did. He brought hope into a completely hopeless situation. Absolutely.
Okay, and another turning point, you had a suicide conversation?
Yeah, that was a pretty big one. We had this conversation where after Andy had had an episode, and this would have been about maybe 3 years into our journey with PTSD. And I just remember locking myself in a room with him. He was just freaking out, and I could just see his eyes. His eyes would just get really dark, and he'd like just go into his head. And I would just sit. I was just sitting there with him and speaking his scripture over and over and over his head to just kind of draw him out of it. And he came out of it. I saw like just a bit of a glimmer, and he just said to me, "Zoe, I've been thinking about taking my life." And my first reaction was anger. Like, how dare you? How dare you leave me? How dare you leave the kids? How can you? You've got these beautiful kids. Why would you give up on that? You've got so much hope. What you've got so much to live for. Why would you give up on that? I didn't understand it. And then I had this revelation where I realized it wasn't that he was giving up on us or that we weren't enough for him, but he felt he wasn't enough for us and that we deserved more. And somehow by him, you know, taking himself out of the picture that, I don't know, you know.
Sounded like the devil really was making him think very destructive and bad things about himself.
Oh, man, such lies.
Yeah.
Such lies. And I know for himself too, he just felt that he was going to get something completely different from me. He was so fearful of what I would think of him, so fearful of what he was going to get from me. He got a punch in the arm. I know that. And I basically said, what are you doing? Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. We're in this together. And it was such an important conversation because it was the first time that I actually understood the depths of where he was at, of where he was coming from. You know, PTSD.
The hurt and the pain that he was going through.
For him to actually get to that point where he actually was contemplating that, you know, PTSD is an invisible injury. You don't see it. It's not like a broken limb where you're reminded to be, oh, that's sore. Let's be gentle with that, or let's just be cautious. It's invisible. So you just, like, as a spouse, I got a lot of regrets and guilts about how I handled it. I mean, there were many times when I was like, "What? Why are you depressed? You've got friends that went over to Afghanistan. They lost their legs and they're out becoming these, you know, Paralympians or like they've overcome. What's your excuse? You've got your health. You've got every single one of your fingers and your toes. You've got four children. We live in a beautiful part of the world. Snap out of it. I would say, like, I just didn't get it. And it was that conversation where it was the first time that I actually got it.
So he came back not with a broken arm or leg or a physical injury, but with a wounded heart.
Yeah, it was spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely spiritual. He couldn't reconcile things that he'd seen with what he knew to be right.
Yeah.
He couldn't reconcile. Yeah.
And Andy, you've been sitting quietly all this time. Would you like to share some of your comments on what Zoe's been sharing about?
Yeah, that was the most difficult conversation I've ever had in my life. You know, I was praying a lot during that time, and I'm sure the strength to have that conversation came from the Lord. But I was so full of fear. I thought, if I let this out of the bag, if I let the truth of what I'm thinking out in the open, everyone's going to think I'm crazy. No one's going to love me anymore. Everyone's going to want to flee from me, and I'm going to lose everyone anyway. But I was at that point where I'd run out of options, and you know, I got that strength on that day, and I remember it vividly, sitting on the bed there with Zoe, and it was really hard to voice it, to give voice to the actual thoughts that were going on in my head. Mm-hmm. But once I did, it almost removed their power. I realized that all the things that I was fearful of weren't actually real. They were simply just fears in my head. And what I got back from Zoe, although there was some immediate anger and fear in her, was love, was empathy, and was patience. And what it did is it drew us back together as a couple. And it's really where I saw God start to heal our relationship. We started mm-hmm. to talk. We started to openly discuss some of the things that we were going through so that we could journey together. And that actually led into the book where we wrote the story together and then became something that we wanted to share and that we felt led to share to be able to bring a story of hope to others. It's, you know, God really blesses relationships and marriage, and we're supposed to be open. We're supposed to be vulnerable with each other. Because we're not meant to do life alone. And I'm just so thankful mm-hmm. that, you know, Zoe stood by me through those horrible times, because the relationship we have today is stronger through Christ, through all of this turmoil, than it was when we first even fell in love and got married. So, you know, God uses all things for good for those that are called to his purpose, and we're called to his purpose. And now we work together every day. We spend a lot of time together as a married couple, and I'm extremely thankful for that. But the best thing about that is bringing hope to others.
So now you're both growing in your relationship and your faith in the Lord. And let's get caught up on what is happening today. You wrote this book that you mentioned, Resurrected, A Story of Hope.
Yeah, that's right. So we share our story. We do some public speaking, and it's all gone really fast, actually. We've created a charity called PTSD Resurrected, and we focus on helping veterans and first responders that are suffering from depression and PTSD, but we don't focus solely on the individual, we focus on the whole family. So we believe in healing together, and part of that is we run a reboot combat recovery course here on the Gold Coast in partnership with Currumbin RSL, and we've seen incredible healing. We've seen people come to know Christ, and we've seen incredible blessing.
And you've mentioned that a number of the people who take the course are not Christians.
Yeah, actually about 80% of the people that sign up for this course are non-Christian, and it's amazing. This is a faith-based course.
Wow.
We look at stories from the Bible on how to deal with these issues like identity, loss of purpose, grief, forgiveness, guilt. Because we've been given the gospel as a guide, and all we have to do is be bold in sharing that. And that was tough to do, actually, the first time, and now we're getting bolder in it because we just see how God moves. You just need to be able to share the word, and it will resonate with people's hearts, and they will find healing. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of. My faith grows every day that I'm involved in it, and it's just amazing.
Can I just add a big part of this course is, look, we were on this journey. We've been on this journey for 6 years. When we discovered this course in America on a speaking tour last year, we actually, when we went through this course with Reboot, we found that they had basically everything that we stumbled on in 6 years, they've actually condensed into a 12-week program. Mm. And I'd like to think if we had have found this program, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, we would have been on our healing journey where we are today a lot quicker. Mm. But a big part of this course is accountability. And, you know, as I mentioned before, when I said to Andy, you know, I've got to give this back to you because you've got to want this. It's it's about choices. And for Reboot, it does bring it back to, okay, yes, you've got PTSD as a result of this trauma or whatever, but where you are now is also a result of your decisions that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, the trauma is like a fork in the road. You can either go up or you can go down. Which way have you gone? And it sort of like traces back from, okay, so you exposed to trauma and then as a result you started drinking to handle it. Then that led to, I don't know, maybe...
a downward spiral.
It's a downward spiral, pornography, and before you know it, you've got marriage breakdown. You can't blame that on PTSD. So it's about coming back down to that point and going, well, hang on, I've got to make the right decisions. And it's empowering. It gives people back power of their lives.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Our guests today have been Andy and Zoe Cullen, authors of the book Resurrected, A Story of Hope. You can find out more information about that book and also about the course they've been talking about at their website, PTSDResurrected.com. That's PTSDResurrected.com.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.